Hey parents, welcome back to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. As always, we are super excited to have you here with us. And today we have a surprise. You won't guess what it is. So I'm going to tell you. Today we have our first live coaching episode. Let me tell you, it's a little bit of a teaser because, of course, once we hopped off the Zoom or recording, we got into the nitty-gritty. But that's okay because this is supposed to be a teaser to show you what working with Emma and getting Serena's little commentary on the side actually looks like if you choose to sign up for our coaching program. And if you are interested, we have our contact in the show notes. You can always email us or reach out on Instagram DM and let us know that you are interested, and we would be more than happy to work with you. But we're excited to dive into this week's episode because we know many of you can relate. So if you have a little one that you might describe as enthusiastic, vivacious, maybe a little wild, I know I call Annie my wild child all the time. But Emma's gonna tell us why we need to be careful with that. And also, if you worry about your child's aggression, if you're wondering it, if it's above the norm, your child is aggressive with you, the parents, their siblings, or kids at school. Even if that's not you, this is just a great episode to listen to and get another mama's experience because we can all learn from each other. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. Do you want to end the constant battles for bath time? Do you find yourself emotionally exhausted at the end of the day? Do you wake up with big hopes for a smooth day of fun with your little ones, only to face an early morning meltdown because you peeled their banana the wrong way?
Silly you.
Silly you.
Hey, I'm Serena. I'm a mama of two little ones, and as a new mama, I constantly question myself. I wanted to make sure I was raising respectful kids while also building a strong bond with them. But I discovered that I had to unlearn my ideas that punishment was the way. With Amalisa's encouragement, I've been practicing a respectful and gentle parenting approach, which is strengthening our bond as a family.
And hi, I'm Amalisa. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an Amma. And I have over 40 years of experience in child care and parent coaching. And I am so excited to share the knowledge I've gained over these years with you.
Together in this podcast, each week we will explore some easy to implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
Hello, hello. Oh my gosh. Okay, I know that I often start our episodes by saying how excited I am. And here's another one. I'm super excited today because we are starting something new here on the Nurturing Parent Podcast. We are doing live coaching with one of our listeners. I know, right, Mama Serena?
Very exciting.
So we have our first courageous mama here with us. And I say courageous because thank you for stepping up and saying, sure, I'll talk to you and get some live coaching. We're hoping that more of you will write to us and want to jump on with us. It's actually, well, we'll ask our listener today, our guest, we will ask her if this is scary or how scary it is. And hopefully she'll inspire some of you to jump on as well at a future date. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Megan, who's coming to us today from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So she's actually my neighbor. She's only about 10 hours away from me, well, plus a ferry ride.
Which is a small amount in Canada.
Is a very small amount in Canada, yes. So there she is. There's Megan. Thank
Hello.
You so much for being here with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for making the suggestion and for reaching out. It's been so nice just to talk with you even a small amount so far. And I'm really looking forward to garnering some new insight. And like you said, hopefully it can also help others.
Awesome. And yeah, that's the thing, that we want to do this live coaching with you parents, because when I get to coach you right here on the show, what you're experiencing as a parent, number one, you are not alone. There are other mamas and dads out there who are experiencing the same kinds of things that you are experiencing. And having you on, like, we have Mama Serena, who is feet on the ground mama. So I think that's what makes this particular parenting podcast a little bit special, because we've got the mama here with us. And we've got the grandma, who's got the decades behind me of the experience. But to have our listeners come on and bring another parenting voice in, I think that's going to be really exciting and touch people in a new way. And is it scary to be here with us? Just let us know.
No, it feels nice. It feels like hanging out with a couple of girlfriends.
Nice.
This is the beauty of Zoom. We're all sort of in our homes. And
yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel when I throw on the podcast too. It's just kind of like tuning in. And
nice.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
That's really nice to hear. And the advantage of being here with us on Zoom is that we get to actually see each other.
Yes.
So that's for me, that's a real bonus too. To, like, you're a real live listener.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let's dive in. Megan, you wrote to us on Instagram direct messages a little while back, and this is what Megan wrote. First of all, I just want to say how much I adore the show, and I am so grateful for the content and discussions that you offer. Thank you. And I just, like, Mama Serena and I always get real gushy when we know that you're listening and we know that you're, that it's making a difference. So thank you for that. Then you go on. My question is a tough one. My 2.5-year-old son is a vivacious, enthusiastic, and wild little human. He carries a bright light. So what I wanted to do in reading your note is to jump in and just say a few things that pop up for me. And right away, I want to say to you, you know, when we're describing our child, it's an interesting situation, because we need to describe who they are in our world. And when we're using descriptive language, it's also
putting a label.
Labeling. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we need to be very careful with thinking of our child in a certain way with mm-hmm. a label, like he's wild. Because I'm guessing that there's times when he's not wild. I'm guessing there's times where he's snuggly or cozy or quiet or concentrating on things. Am I right? Or is he just wild 100%?
The vast majority of the time, he's pretty wild.
Yeah.
He isn't just that.
He
is all those things.
Absolutely. All those things. Yeah.
So when I introduce my kids, usually I say Andrea's my first, she's my little angel, she's the perfect first child. And then I'll go to Aniston, who's my wild child, and usually that's how I'll explain them. And sometimes, and I try not to do it when they're close and they can hear it, because I don't want to label Aniston as a wild child, even though she is the wild one, but I don't want her to be labeled. And then I've thought about it too. And sometimes I feel like I'm kind of putting pressure on Andrea when I'm calling her my angel, because sometimes she's not an angel. And I don't want her to feel like she always has to put on that face of I'm the perfect first child. So
yeah.
Very but I'll good. Do that a lot, wild child, for for honest.
Yeah. And so one of the things there that I want to say for our listeners, advantage is, number one, please don't ever talk about your child with labels or any negative connotation in the conversation within hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So And Megan, where I don't know if any of this pertains to you, but you know, as an overview of some of the things that you wrote about, I think it will help other parents. So I just go slightly on this tangent. And bear in mind that, you know, if you said, does anybody want candy? And your child can hear you, they're hearing you if you're talking about anything, whether they look like they're listening or hearing you or not, right? So if you said, does anybody want to go outside and play? And that's what they love to do. Anyway, you get my drift. When they're within hearing, we have to be very careful not to talk about them in any kind of labeling or negative connotation. And I love the words that you used. He's vivacious. He's enthusiastic. And he's a wild little human. Like, I get the picture of this energetic boy, right? And the other thing there, just before I go on, is he wild? Or is he, I mean, yeah, some children have higher energy and more expressive, big energy than other children. Absolutely, 100%. And are those children being given the opportunities to blow off that energy outside, running, climbing, jumping, you know, all the things that that little body needs to do? And if that child is getting those times, and if it can't be outside because it's 20 below where you live or whatever, you know, we need to be creating spaces for them inside to do that. Or going to the local community center where there are places to climb. There are like a wave pool to swim in, or, you know, get pulled around in by mama if he's 2.5 and not swimming yet. But you get my idea, right? So are they wild because that's just who they are, or do they have a lot of energy that isn't getting enough outlet? And at 2.5, little guys often have a huge amount of energy that needs that outlet, right? And then you go on to say, parenting him is presenting me with some challenges in regards to his at times overly charged energy. And I love that you are taking that on, like it's a parenting thing, right? It's not, you're not saying to me he's being bad. I don't hear any of that kind of language from you, which I'm so happy not to hear. And it's challenging you, and I totally get that. And then you say he can be physical sometimes in ways that are worrying me. He hits his father and I, and we've seen him hit or scratch or shove others at daycare. It's as though he has too much emotion in his little body that he doesn't know what to do with, and he then converts it to aggression. That's exactly what I see. That's what happens at the age of 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3. They have all these emotions that they're starting to be more and more aware of as they become toddlers, and they don't know how to deal with them. And as we talk about a lot on the podcast, that prefrontal cortex, that is our regulation center of our brain, is not developed. So they aren't able to deal with all the big feelings that they're having, and they just explode physically, right? So well done. Well done, mama. Yeah. And then you're just to paraphrase the last part, you're just asking about, and I thought this was a question that shows some, you know, more mama wisdom from you. When should we be concerned that this is the kind of aggression that you're seeing is over and above the norm, the quote unquote norm for toddlers? And when should I be maybe looking into it deeper, getting an assessment kind of thing? And I think that that's a great question to ask. And so now I want to dive in with you and see where you're at and see if we can determine whether we're at that place without me having ever met or seen your son, but just from our conversation. And if we're at a place where I would recommend that, then I could say that today. And if not, then let's look at what's underneath, what's going on.
Okay.
So what is going on for you? If you could give us an example, one of the things that I would say is, you know, how are you responding to the aggressive outbursts or moments, whether they're big or lots of little ones, whichever? How is Dad responding to them? And those might be very different. So let's start looking at those. If you give us an example of something that happens and how you deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it depends on the day. And the reason for that is because it depends on my capacity and also my husband's. So that's kind of the lens through which I'm looking at this whole thing is, like you said, it's a parenting, it's a question of parenting rather than needing to fix him or change who he is as a person. It's rather, how do we support him? And so, I mean, last week, for example, was particularly difficult, and I'm just kind of coming off of it right now. I'm feeling as though I'm rounding a bit of a corner, but in recent years, I've had some health struggles, and last week, I had a doctor's appointment, and I realized that I'm not quite where I thought I was, and it was a big hit for me. Mm. And then, you know, by coincidence, I'm not sure, I also ended up with a migraine that just really knocked me down. And so my capacity for responding to Vance in the way that I normally consciously do was not there. There was not a lot of patience.
Yes.
And what I've learned, probably the most powerful thing that I've learned, which echoes what you say about the prefrontal cortex being offline and it's all amygdala at this age. I went to go see a body talk therapist, which is kind of like, it's like a modality that's more, we'll say, like an energetic practice. And I was talking to her about this and she said, you know, when little young children, less than about 3 years of age have quote unquote behavior problems, it's not their stuff. Because they are basically just, you know, channeling and diffusing energy that's around them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of goes back to as well, you know, when I listened to your guys' episode about inner child healing, that's what set me on this path. It's like you can have all of this, the right scripts, and you can say the right things, but until you've done the work on yourself internally, that energy is still there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my case, I had a traumatic upbringing, where my mother was doing everything she could to survive. And she, you know, was the one nurturing us and also had to be the provider. Whereas my father was an addict and he was abusive. There's a lot of things that I repressed from that period. And all of a sudden Vance hits toddlerhood. Vance is my son. And I just feel this rage in my body and this anger in moments where he was defying me. And I mean, even that word right there, he was defying me, right? It was like, it made me feel as though I was being defied.
Yes.
So what I learned then is like, this feels really unfamiliar to me. And when I started exploring the inner child healing, as soon as I was able to acknowledge that there was pain and trauma there, I was able to soften to Vance a lot. Mm. And my body talk practitioner told me he is expressing the rage that you can't or have not been able to because it's suppressed. It was like I didn't even know it was there until this period of my life.
Mm.
So, it, you know, it just gave me chills, but it also was so helpful. And therefore, you know, to answer your question, the way that I deal in those moments is by softening. And there are certain scripts that I use. So I speak French with Vance, and, you know, if he's hitting, it's sort of, I'll say something along the lines of, I'm not going to let you hit. I can't let you hit. I see, and I'll acknowledge whatever the emotion that I, you know, am able to pick up on to try and help him understand, and just to make him feel sort of acknowledged. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the limit, the boundary.
So if I could just jump in right there, and I would like to just jump in when I hear something that I'd like to work with. So hopefully that's not a rude interruption. So when you say those things to him, how does it go? Because you're using the scripts that we talk about, right? And you're doing those things. And thank you for that piece about that inner child healing. I experienced it as a young mama too. So that's a great foundation for this conversation for sure. So now we're in it. He's having an aggressive moment, and you are saying all those things that, quote unquote, should be working. And how is it going? Is it lessening the aggression? Is he calming down, or is he actually escalating?
It also depends on the day, but I will say in general, the behavior has been very consistent and increasing lately.
Okay.
But I do know that when I myself don't have patience and I'm not responding to him with that compassion, it's worse, because I recognize that he's actually just trying to connect with me. Mm-hmm. So for example, when he throws toys, or like yesterday, he threw a full can of just like bubbly across the room. Like, okay, that could be quite dangerous, and mm-hmm. you know, it's not okay. But when he does that, I know he's actually just trying to get my attention.
Yeah.
And from our sort of initial pre-conversation, just like less words and more, I guess, just warmth and looking at him and letting him know that I'm right here, it does in the moment really relax the energy. Mm-hmm. My concern.
So again, let me just jump in. Tell me your concern first.
Oh, just, I'm curious about when it tips over into becoming like a positive feedback loop or permissive parenting, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. where I'm just being quite soft with him when he's done something that actually isn't okay.
Yeah. That's an awesome point right there. So just, you know, to fill in our listeners, we did have a quick conversation before recording. So one of the things I asked you is, just to give the fuller picture, is your son in at home or in daycare? What's that situation?
He's in daycare full time.
Okay. And how long has he been in daycare? What age did he start?
At about 15 months when I went back.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So he's in full-time daycare. He's a toddler. And you are, and he's learning two languages. And the other thing to bring in for our listeners is, how verbal is he or not?
Yeah, that's a big factor. In his daycare, he was moved up to an older group because they said he was linguistically advanced. But he's about 5 or 6 months younger than that group. And when that transition happened, his aggression increased significantly.
Okay, there we go. That was Amma's intuition. Mm. Is that this little guy is overloaded. Mm-hmm. So if there's a constant, if you're, you know, everybody, aggression in a toddler is totally normal. Lashing out with hands or throwing things or biting. We've had episodes about all this stuff, right? It's normal. And the reason that you, Megan, wrote to us, I think, is that you're really questioning, like, is this still in the normal range? Because it's bigger than it feels like maybe that you'd like it to be. And it's accelerating. It's not easing off. It's actually you're seeing it more and more and more, right? So that was my concern, is if this little guy is in full-time daycare, and you guys, I get it. Like, in this day and age, most children have to be in daycare, like so many children. We, the parents, no longer have that choice, really, whether it's because you want to go back to work or you both need to be working, right? And it's a lot for our little guys. And if he is advanced verbally, the tendency for you, the parents, and for the daycare providers is to treat him like he's a little bit older. Yeah. Because he can communicate to you things that some 2.5-year-olds, they'd barely have any words, right? And there's no judgment about, you know, the slower talkers and the quicker talkers. It's just in the spectrum of how quickly children, how soon, what age they learn to speak. So there's a huge spectrum. The drawback to those early verbal children is that they get treated like they're older. We expect more from them. So one of the things that might be happening is when you're communicating to him and you're giving him all those words and saying, oh, I can't let you throw things. Oh, that's dangerous. And then you're going into the why and the wherefore and the, you know, all the things about why it can't happen. I think that pushes him into overload, which is why on our pre-call, I had said, just rest into the love that you have for your boy, right? Just, and I love that you've already put that into practice in the last couple of days, and you're noticing that it calms the whole energy of the space, right?
And it's far less effort.
Yes. Win-win. Yeah. And one of the things, you know, if he were, you know, slapping out at another child or scratching or something at another child, we have to stop the behavior. Yes, we do not want to become that permissive parent. And the prefrontal cortex isn't engaged or engageable because of their age and the development of the brain. The prefrontal cortex, where it helps us control ourselves and control our behavior, that's not there, right? So if there's a hit on another child, or even you see it before it happens, when I worked in the under threes daycare, that was my main job, was, you know, getting there before those physical things happened. And just instead of saying, oh, I can't let you hit, I mean, you can say, I can't let you hit. Hitting's not okay. But what I would recommend is just scooping him up, holding him to you, and just pouring the love into him. And you're not, this is the thing, you're not rewarding that behavior that you don't want. You're not reinforcing that behavior. You're letting him know that you know, as his mama or as his dad or as his caretaker at daycare, that you've got him. He's a little out of control right now, and you're right here. If you pick him up and hold him, he's going to feel your heartbeat. That will help his regulation. He will feel and hear your breath. That will help his regulation. You don't actually need to use a lot of words, even like you did in that example of just looking at him with that love, right? So that's one possibility. And you're not going to be able to do that all the time. Go ahead, Serena.
So sometimes I feel the same thing. Like, when is it permissive? And I realize that if something's happening and I do need to pick up my daughter, or I do need to just like show her some love and like let it go, because it's probably not that serious even. Like I'll hear my dad's voice in the back of my head, like, really, who's the boss? Who's the parent here? Is it you or is it her? And I'll just hear his voice, and I just need to like let it get out of me, because that hearing that and following what my dad's voice is telling me to do is not going to help the situation. And the whole point of this podcast is for me not to do what my dad did. so whatever, just letting go. Yeah, just letting go of that permissive, or like, when am I like feeding into her? Sometimes it's me just having to let that idea go.
Yeah. And maybe by not speaking, but just kind of being that really steady presence, it's almost like emotionally neutral. Like it's reassuring. It's not telling them that it was okay to do that, but it is reminding them. And one visualization that I've been using that I've found to be so helpful is to imagine myself as an anchor, and my son is the boat that's on the surface of the water, and there's a storm. And so the boat's getting tossed around, but the storm passes. And all the while, I'm like deep down below, grounded, steady, holding him.
Okay. In one of our podcasts, I said, be your child's anchor in the storm. Okay. And we'll have to see if we can find that one soon and plop it in the show notes. I also just now, while I think of it, I want to pop in the show notes the episode about that inner child healing, where we had interviewed a beautiful guest on that topic. But that's so great, because that has become one of our things that we say is, be the anchor in your child's storm. That's what you're doing. You're not reinforcing the behavior that you don't want. You're being that anchor there. You know, let's bring it again. I love to do this. You, adult, you are having a breakdown. Somebody at work treated you badly. Somebody said something. Somebody in the traffic, like something happened in your day. Maybe it was an upset with your spouse or your significant other. And so you reach out to somebody that you trust, and you kind of collapse with them. Does it work better if they admonish you and say, oh, come on, it's not that bad? You know, like, get yourself together. Why would you say that kind of thing anyway? I don't think, you know, talking to your husband like that was appropriate. Or does it help more if your person that you can depend on says, oh, man, I got you. I got you. I'm right here. I'm listening. I see you. I hear you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what our babies need. And we don't want to get into the permissive parenting. But the other thing, Serena just sent me a beautiful little clip recently that was, when you're feeling frustrated at your child and you feel that rage in you come up, because it's there for many of us, right? Look at their tiny hands and feet.
Oh, okay.
Look at their tiny hands and feet and just see how little they are. They're little pudgy, little pudgy fingers. Yeah. They're babies. And we forget, especially when they get more, you know, into the world of being able to communicate, be able to do things for themselves. They're little and they're learning. They're learning so much. And when they're at daycare all day, you need to be their safe place that they come home to. You're their lighthouse as well as their anchor, right? Like, you need to be that place where they go, okay, here. And what may happen is you're going to get the meltdowns. You're going to get the tantrums. You're going to get the bigger behavior, because you're safe to do that with. Because your love is not going to go away. And that actually makes me tear up just to say that, right? Like, your love is not leaving. You're here for them. I want to say also, with the daycare situation, I caught that going by, that you have noticed a significant increase in the aggression since he was moved into the older class.
Mm-hmm.
My strong recommendation is that you talk to the daycare and tell them, and, you know, have a chat with hubby and make sure that you guys are in line with this. But I would personally strongly recommend he be moved back to his age group. In the older group, he will be the youngest child, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And more will be expected of him.
Yeah.
And he's not coping well with how much is now expected of him, it sounds to me. And I would be really curious if you did move him back, if you were then able to see a shift happening. And I really want you to reach out and let us know if that if you're able to move him back and if you notice that change.
Yeah, it's something that we have kind of thought about, and I think we are going to explore it. My concern there is that it's one big sort of classroom space, and it's just like they've got little shelves to partition the two sides.
Okay.
And so I'm just like, what will that be like? It's just going to be so confusing for him to go from, it's called junior and senior. So he was on junior, he moved, and it was sad because he adored the teachers on the junior side. And it was a choice that the daycare made sort of for us. They asked, they just told us he was moving. And now, yes, he's struggling, but to move him back then.
Does he adore the new teachers in the older grade as much? Do you know?
No, I think so.
No.
No.
Move him back. Move him back. He'll if you can talk to those teachers that he loved. When I worked in an under threes daycare, the first one I ever worked in, they were fabulous. Every supervisor, preschool teacher, had a designated children under my wing. I had certain children, right? So those were my four children. And if they needed anything extra, I was the one who would give it to them. So I would recommend, if you can, if the daycare allows it, to talk to that, whichever one was his favorite, or if he had a couple of favorites, and just say, could one of you be his go-to person? Can one of you just pour a little extra into him? Because we need to get this aggression under control. And I want to do that in the most loving way that we can. And this is the way, as his mom, that I want us to do this. How does that sound?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a conversation with my husband as well. And that, you know, I don't think I answered that question earlier, is of course he's a huge part of this equation. And his, at this point, you know, he sort of is feeling that same sense of, we got to nip this in the bud. And so he's like, okay, we need to be firmer. We need to be more strict. And I think we're actually on the same page, him and I, but the way that I see it is we need to be more consistent. And that kind of leads me to, I guess it's like the more real talk side of this, right? Like just practically speaking, it's not like this is happening two times a day. Like this is ongoing multiple times throughout the day when we're also trying to live our lives and get things done and get out the door. And so it doesn't feel practical to be able to respond in that way every single time.
Yeah.
Or I'm not within arm's distance where I need to use my voice because my hands are full across the room.
Okay, there was another clue right there. Do you have regular routines for getting out the door? Is it this happens first, that happens next, that happens next, that happens next? Okay. You might want to do, we're creating, and we haven't got it ready quite yet, but we're creating a bedtime train and a getting out the door train that you put on the wall somewhere, either in the kitchen or in the hallway, whatever. And then he gets to choose, you know, what order he does things in, or he flips the whatever, however it's going to look. But you get a system for him to see the things that he's done, and he gets to have a little bit of control about that too. Right. And I'll just throw in really quickly, are you giving yourselves enough time to do those transitions? And are you pre-paving for him? So the night before at bedtime, are you talking to him about, okay, so in the morning, I'm going to come and wake you up and this is what it's going to look like. And then we're going to have breakfast together and then we'll get dressed and all the pre-paving pieces so that he knows what to expect, what's coming next. Okay. So that's a really, I feel like your little guy needs to feel, I don't know, a sense of safety and security in his world. There's a lot going on and it's, this is not a judgment at all. Like, you're not doing anything wrong and you're not failing. I wanted to say that to you earlier when you're like, I can't do it right all the time. No, none of us do, right? And the safety and security of regular routines, knowing what's going to happen next, the pre-paving of, you know, when you drop him off at daycare and I'll be there to pick you up. And today I'm going to bring your favorite snack, whatever that is. You tell him what you're going to bring for the car ride home and me, you know, and just really let him know all the details. And if you're able to, when you pick him up, go to the playground and play for a few minutes, even 20 minutes. That was the other big piece before we go. This little guy and all of your little guys, girls and boys, female, male bodies, they all, at when they're toddlers, they need to run and jump and climb and balance and do all the things. And of course, I'm going to tell you the very best place to do that is outside. And if at all possible, in some kind of nature, grass or, you know, flowers growing up through the concrete or trees beside the sidewalk, whatever there is where you can feel and see nature. And if you can get out to a nature park, all the better. But get outside if at all possible. And these little guys, your little guy, he needs an hour a day of big motor activity. And if you're in a climate like you are in Calgary, where you can't do that year round, then you find indoor places where you can. You can search online and go indoor big motor activities for toddlers. And there's some really fun things. So on, you know, the weekdays when he's in daycare all day, hopefully he's getting some of that. But if you can set something up for him at home, you know, you put patches on the floor and he has to hop like a frog. Or he has to, you know, go, you do a line with painter's tape around your floor and he has to drive his cars around there. There's lots of big motor things that you can do inside. So these little guys need an hour at least a day, 2 hours if they can get it, 3 hours if they can get it, of that big expression so that those emotions that are in there getting all stuck and coming out in these aggressive ways can have an outlet before they build up. So when you pick him up from daycare, bring his favorite snack, you know, change it up or bring or have it the same. Some kids just want the same every day because it's safe and they know what's coming. And then stop at the park or walk home if that's a possibility and do that big motor for 20 minutes. And then get home. And I know you got to run home and you got to start making dinner and you got to do all the things. You got to get him into bed. Like it's so stressful, you guys. I honestly, I feel so lucky that I had my child at a time where I didn't have to go out and work full time. But here we are. And if at all possible, when you get home, take 5 or 10 minutes and sit together. Read his favorite story. Maybe it's the same story every day for a while, right? That kind of thing. Give him that security of this is your life. We've got you. You're safe.
Amen.
All right. How does that all sound? Does that sound there's things for you to work with there?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I will report back.
Okay. And I want to know, is dad listening to the Nurturing Parent podcast? Is he open to that?
He is. He okay. runs his own company and he's so overwhelmed right now.
Hold on. Yeah.
Like him and I are like ships passing in the night.
Aww.
So he just doesn't have a lot of spare time, but he is amazingly present and intentional and just loves Vance so much.
I love that. And yeah. I want you to ask him to please listen to this episode if
oh,
nothing
he will.
Else. if he
sure.
doesn't have time for anything else, this might be a good one because it's about yeah. his darling, darling boy that I can just feel how much love there is with all of you. And I don't feel, just to answer the initial question in your comment, first of all, I don't feel like you need to get that extra help right now, to get that assessment kind of help. I want you to put some of this into practice and get back to us within maybe the 2-week mark. See if there's any changes within the month mark for sure. I would think there would be some really positive changes happening. So I'm hoping. All right.
Will do.
Thank you so much for jumping on as our first live coaching guest. It's been amazing to be here with you.
My pleasure.
Yay.
You're amazing, Megan. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I love that you two had kind of similarities in the wild child and in the parenting of your own childhood. And this was a huge episode, you guys, because we talked about that inner child that we all carry. Nobody tells us that when we, you know, imagine having our adorable little baby in our arms, that we're going to have to do our own emotional healing work. That's like, wait a minute, who thought that up? But it's an awesome gift that we can give ourselves, and it'll make lives much easier when we do the work. Thank you again. We love you. And listener, we love you.
Okay, so for my gems, what I learned from this episode is that I need to not end the recording, because when we're not recording, that's when we catch the best things. So I'm sorry you had to miss it, but I'll share my actual gems. So my first gem that I really, really liked, and I had to listen to it like 3 times to draw this one out, was I love the part where Megan is questioning her parenting and not her children's way of being. And so the third time I heard that, I would just love for all of us to take that perspective on, because this is part of why we don't call our kids bad kids. It's not that they're bad. We should be questioning ourselves, and not in a bad way, but just questioning how we are approaching parenting. It was like a smack in the face, and I really appreciated that smack. So number 2 is noticing what stressors are in your child's life. So like Megan's son had been pushed up to the next grade, and he's very advanced with his vocabulary, so it's easier to talk to him like he's older when he's actually not, and that could be stressing him out. And it's easy to think that our kids don't have any stress because they don't pay the bills, they don't have to go to work, and sometimes we're getting them dressed and wiping their butts. So like, what are you stressed about? But I think when we can notice our kids' stressors and how it affects them, it helps us really be that anchor in their storm. Gem number 3 is how Megan noticed that she softens to him sometimes, and how she was told that when she does that, he releases the anger that she cannot. And that's a gem to me, because I've seen it with other parents, is that they have this anger in them, and that anger is not supposed to come out with yelling or anything, but it's something that happens to some parents where they soften, and then their kids kind of like feed off of that and either get more angry or more, their blow up might get a little bigger. And so it was just a gem that I wanted to notice and kind of study a little bit more. And if that does happen to you, I want you to work on where that's coming from and notice that. And just also noticing that can help you deal with it better. So that was maybe not a gem, but something I wanted to take out and help us all acknowledge and realize, because I have seen it many times before, is us softening in times when it's really feeding our kids. And so I think Megan is an amazing mom. I think she's very brave and courageous to join us, and I appreciate her so much for doing that. And so when we do get an update from Megan, we will be more than happy to include it at the end of one of our episodes once we do get that. We hope you enjoyed this, and we would love to hear your feedback. If you are into these live coaching episodes, we're going to definitely try it again. If you are interested, make sure you contact us. And if you're also interested in coaching, don't forget that you could just reach out to us through email or Instagram DM and let us know that you're interested. Thank you for being here with us, and we can't wait to see you next week. Take care.
I want to sing with you. I want to dance with you. I want to laugh with you. Oh, how I love to be with you. Aya, 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 I do. Aya, 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 I do. Such a short time we've been together. Seems like a life.